Welcome to this journalism.co.uk podcast. This week, we're looking at the future of reader comments on news stories. Are they redundant in the age of social media? An embarrassing mishmash of fringe ranting and ill-informed shrill bomb throwing. That's how the Chicago Sun-Times described comments when it switched them off earlier this year. Reuters, tech site Recode, and popular science magazine have all done the same. And this time last year, the Huffington Post did away with anonymous comments, forcing readers to log in via a social network to have their say. Is all that chatter below the line outdated and irrelevant? Has the meaningful debate moved elsewhere? And does scrapping comments harm your relationship with the reader or give the impression that you're less accountable?
My name's Matthew Ingram, and I'm a senior writer at GigaOM. I've covered this particular topic a number of times over the past few years, and every time it turns into, you know, a gigantic debate with strong sort of opposition on one side and strong proponents on the other side. It's a very, very contentious issue, which is kind of ironic because, you know, that's what people complain about when they talk about comments, that it turns into a back and forth flame war. But it's something people feel very strongly about.
It's back on the discussion agenda now after Reuters recently announced that it was ending user comments on news stories. The Newswire said much of the well-informed discussion, as well as criticism, has moved to social media. The idea of comments on a website must give way to new realities of behaviour in the marketplace, it said. Matthew Ingram at GigaOM described the decision on Twitter as dumb.
Reuters is a newswire service. You know, they have corporate clients. They don't, typically you and I don't probably go to Reuters just to hang around and read their content. I mean, they primarily serve a business market, and so they don't, I'm sure that was part of their decision in terms of getting rid of comments. But my argument was, well, if you have a website at all that people can go to, then whether they're individuals or people who work for your corporate customers, why wouldn't you give those people the ability to comment on your content? The Huffington Post's argument was anonymous comments are the problem. That's why people behave badly, because their names aren't attached to those comments. Other sites like Popular Science decided that comments just don't add any value at all. And Recode's argument was, well, lots of people comment on Twitter and Facebook, so we don't really need comments anymore.
That last argument is backed up by Charles Arthur, a freelance journalist and former technology editor at The Guardian. He says readers who want to add their insight to a topic and get the impression they're being heard won't waste their time in a noisy comments thread.
I think that people prefer to spend their comments, they prefer to make their point in a place where it will be valuable to them. Why would you want to be the 133rd person to leave a comment on a story? What actually does that make in terms of a difference to the story? And I find it rather hard to understand that. I mean, I know for myself, I often like to comment about things, but then I'll think, Why would I spend my time here? Why actually is the benefit to me? You know, I know a lot of people, you know, like to leave comments, but that doesn't actually mean that they add any value to what has been written above. And that's really my argument with comments, if you like, is that there are a lot of them. People like leaving them below stories, but this doesn't actually mean that they have any inherent value necessarily. Apart from the fact that it gives people some chance to you know, hit a keyboard.
Why have news organisations been so keen to open up their content to discussion? Accountability and openness are some of the reasons given. Boosting page views and time spent on an article is also a factor. But Charles Arthur says there's also another motivation.
The dirty little secret about comments on news sites is that they had a benefit for the news sites, because when people are logged in, the news sites can sell adverts at a higher value against those people. Yeah, even though they don't know who the person is, they can charge higher because they can, in effect, profile them. But that doesn't mean actually that that person enhances anything that they that they do around the site by the fact of leaving comments. You know, it'd be just as good for the news sites if people were to, simply to be logged in when they use the site and look at the adverts there.
If comments are broken, should all of our relationship with readers pass through Facebook and Twitter instead? Matthew Ingram says that's a bad idea.
It shouldn't be an either or. I mean, obviously Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and lots of other platforms are very, very useful. And it is a great way to interact with an individual writer or with a bunch of writers or with other people who feel the same about a piece of content. The problem is that not everyone belongs to those networks, for one thing. So lots of people, when Facebook logins are required for comment, just simply don't comment because they don't want those comments to be attached to their Facebook or for other people to see them, their family members or coworkers. So that excludes a significant proportion of people from that discussion around your content. So that's number one. Number two is it requires your readers to go and do a fair amount of work to find you, to follow you, to try and get you to respond to them, to search for other people who are talking about the same thing. It requires a whole bunch of steps for them in order to provide their thoughts about that content. And number three is doing that effectively, and I think this is one of the most important points, gives a lot of value, the value that's in your relationship with your readers, gives that value effectively to Twitter or Facebook or those other platforms, which I think is a mistake. If you believe, as I do, that for media sites in particular, your relationship with your readers and your community is one of the most significant, you know, kinds of value that you have, maybe even the most important, then I think it's a mistake to hand over a lot of that value and the control over that relationship to other companies, proprietary third-party companies.
How has it come to this? Why are news organizations having second thoughts about comments on articles? For Matthew, curating comments is an area that, by and large, hasn't been given enough thought. So what can we learn from those who handle comments well?
Most publishers have not paid any attention to comments whatsoever. They've, you know, it's a dumping ground at the bottom of an article where people just sort of pile in. No one ever looks at them. No one responds to them. They're not, if anything, they haven't given enough attention to them. And what you see consistently in sites that do comments very well is they spend a lot of time in those comments, responding to people, moderating, and in fact, in some cases, highlighting good comments as a way of sort of indicating the type of behavior that they want to have. And in strong reader communities, sites that have strong reader communities, readers themselves, other commenters, do the moderation because they want that community to be beneficial.
Charles Arthur also supports the idea of doing more to reward good commenting practice, although quite what form that reward takes perhaps isn't obvious.
When you found people who made those useful comments, boy, you really treasured them. The trouble was there was no predicting whether they'd be there the next day or even the next hour. So you know, you didn't get an ongoing relationship there. And all the stuff about, oh yeah, writers should really engage in the comments. Well, why engage in the comments? I'm not sure it actually generated a great deal of benefit. In the long term, you have to ask whether the ways that news sites look at curating comments is actually just not the right way of doing it. That because people feel that they're able to say anything, and the moderation tends to be a bit of a mystery to everyone, you know, as to why something got moderated or whether it will get moderated, people just try to push the boundaries, and if they go over them, then well, that's sort of what happened. But there's no comeback, and equally, there's no reputational harm. So if someone consistently says stupid things in comments, things which are demonstrably wrong, things which are demonstrably untrue, things which are demonstrably simply insulting, there's no fall in reputation. So, yeah, there's an entire hinterland, which has not been explored, of how you could make those comments better. But none of the news sites have really gone at that in any big way. Places like Reddit have the idea of karma and Slashdot, which predates commenting on many newspaper sites, had the fact that you could be voted up or voted down, and Hacker News has a similar sort of system. You know, places, weirdly enough, where they've sort of started from programmers who had the idea of, let's actually put some sort of value onto comments. Those tend to function fairly well. You know, Slashdot's thing where stuff is plus five insightful, is almost canonical, and yet it's not adopted all over the sort of news web. So whether it's just seen as too expensive, whether the benefits in terms of logged in users is not high enough, or what it is, I think that there's a sort of big question there. Possibly it's simply that the DNA of news organizations is not the same as the DNA of Slashdot and Reddit and places like that. So, possibly the two will never come together. Until there's some sort of system that makes that worthwhile, and until there's some sort of incentive-disincentive mechanism, I think the comments will be, in essence, just broken. They're just not doing the function that you'd really like them to be doing, which is to enhance your understanding of a story and to actually bring a bit of extra domain knowledge to something.
And so, with comment facilities gradually being switched off bit by bit on news sites across the web, what are the arguments for keeping them? Matthew Ingram at GigaOM has this conclusion.
Well, the number one thing is it's people challenge your viewpoint. And I think that's something, it's uncomfortable when someone says they think you're wrong or they point out flaws in your argument or things you may have missed, but it's still fundamentally very valuable. And I think it's that type of thing that sites that do away with comments wind up missing. They miss the sort of thoughtful criticism that says, you probably didn't look into this enough, or you misunderstood this point, or that's actually, if you see sort of understanding the topic as the goal, instead of just you publishing your thoughts and getting other people to click on it, if you see the actually understanding the topic as a goal, then having people challenge your viewpoint is actually beneficial. And so that's what I find sort of the most value in our comments, not when people agree with me, but when people disagree with me.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.